Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Bush's Chicken to Remain in the Odessa Area by OA News. Keith Bush, founder of Bush's Chicken, the popular Texas quick-serve restaurants chain with over 80 locations, announced Tuesday, is keeping stores open in the area. For almost two decades, there were five Bush's Chicken locations in the Odessa-Andrews area. For almost two decades, there were five Bush's Chicken locations in the Odessa areas. Due to the death of that owner 2 years ago, those stores passed on to new management. Since that time, three stores were sold and two have been taken over by Keith Bush, a news release said. My family is from this part of Texas, and it's important to me that we keep a presence in the Midland-Odessa-Andrews area, Keith Bush said in a release. We're a family type of restaurant, and I'm bringing my son Corey back here to oversee these stores. Keith Bush and his management team will take over the store at 1705 North County Road West and the one at 126 West Broadway Street in Andrews. The first Bush's Chicken store opened on the outskirts of Waco in 1996. Several years after opening their first location, Keith and Charlene Bush started franchising in 2005, and over the years, the business grew into a chain of restaurants expanding throughout the Lone Star State. Obituary. Michael Shane Hamill, Odessa. Michael Shane Hamill of Odessa, Texas, passed from this life on Saturday, January 8th, at the age of 51. He was born on Monday, August 17th, 1970, in Durant, Oklahoma, to Albert Luther Hamill and Mickey Ann Bruce. He was preceded in death by his father, Albert Luther Hamill, his mother, Mickey Ann Bruce, stepfather, Donald Bruce, grandparents, Tommy Lee McDonald, Melvin Coulter, Lillian Hamill, Carl Hamill Sr., and Rosie Coulter. Survivors include his wife, Christy Graham of the home, sons, Michael Jacoby Hamill of Odessa, Jared Graham and wife, Bianca of Odessa, Zachary Shane Hamill of Odessa, brothers Roy Don Bruce and wife Alma of Clarksville, Tennessee, Walter Lee Hamill of Durant, Oklahoma, and Dalton Lee Bruce of Calera, Oklahoma, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and other extended family. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 19th, at Parker Height Church in Odessa, Texas. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Gordon Funeral Home. Death notices. Antonio Villarreal Villa, Odessa. Antonio Villarreal Villa, 46 of Odessa, died Friday, January 14th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, January 21st, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Benito Medina Loya, Odessa. Benita Medina Loya, Nani of Odessa, Texas, died Thursday, January 13th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 20th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Rose Hill section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Patsy Busey, Midland. Patsy Busey, 91, died Saturday, January 15th in Midland. Services are pending with Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home of Midland. Carolyn M. Coleman, Odessa. Carolyn M. Coleman, 75, of Odessa, died Friday, January 14th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, January 21st, at Sunset Heights Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation on Thursday, January 20th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the funeral home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Gladys Charlene Cooper, Odessa. Gladys Charlene Cooper, 91, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 11th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, January 22nd at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Home. Hortensia A. Armendariz Franco, Odessa. Hortensia A. Franco, 88, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 12th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Wednesday, January 19th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Monica Merced Marin Jacquez, Odessa. Monica Merced Marion Jacquez, 47, of Odessa, died Monday, January 10th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Tuesday, January 18th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel, Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Kathy Byrne Madden, Odessa. Kathy Byrne Madden, 69, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 13th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 20th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Visitation will be held Wednesday, January 19th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Acres West. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel. Jesse Chewy Martinez, Odessa. Jesse Chewy Martinez, 84, died Sunday, January 16th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home. John Jerry Perkins, Odessa. John Jerry Perkins, 72, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 12th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. Thursday, January 20th at Martinez Funeral Home. Burial will follow at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Terry Lee Register, Odessa. Terry Lee Register, 62, of Odessa, died Friday, January 13th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, January 21st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Visitation begins at 5 p.m. on Thursday. Jose Maria Chima Reyes, Dallas. Jose Maria Chima Reyes, 69, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 8th in Dallas. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, January 24th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Gayla Lynn Hare Sanders, Odessa. Gayla Lynn Hare Sanders, 56, died Friday, January 7th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens.
This is Jane recording for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 19th in the Health and Wellness section. Midland Memorial Hospital averages one COVID death a day. The spike in COVID cases is resulting in more deaths at Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland health officials said Tuesday that there have been 18 deaths as a result of complications from COVID. Those 18 deaths are nearly as many as in December, when there were 21, and more than August, when there were 15. Since August 1, there have been 151 deaths because of complications with COVID, according to hospital officials and Reporter Telegram articles. Those deaths include patients from outside Midland County. The Department of State Health Services reported on its website Tuesday that there have been 427 Midland County residents die because of COVID complications since the beginning of this pandemic. 103 cases. Midland health officials reported more than 100 cases for the second straight day. The 103 cases include 93 active, those with infection still, and 10 convalescing, those still with COVID in their symptom but not infectious. The report included a total of 66 in the medical unit, 19 in critical care, 6 in progressive care, 1 in labor and delivery, 2 in pediatrics, including an 11-day-old baby, and 9 holding in the emergency department. Midland health officials said, aside from the one person in labor and delivery, all COVID patients were admitted or are awaiting admission because of complications with COVID, not another health issue. How many are vaccinated? Midland health officials said 70% of the COVID patients are unvaccinated. Of the 30% that are breakthrough cases, only 4 are fully boosted. Age ranges. The age range of COVID patients is 11 days to 96 years old. About 21% of Midland Memorial's total COVID census is below the age of 50, officials said. The age range with most inpatients Tuesday was 6 to 69, with 33. The age range 70 to 79 was second, with 19, followed by 50 to 59, with 17. Need a shot? Shot clinics include the weekly clinic every Tuesday afternoon at the FMH Outpatient Center on Andrews Highway. Midland ISD is holding a shot clinic from 3 to 5:45 Friday at Faskin Elementary. There is pre-registration involved, and a parent or guardian must be present for a child to receive the vaccine. There is a clinic from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Saturday at the MLK Center in East Midland. Walk-ins are welcome. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness section for Wednesday, January the 19th. Federal site for free tests launches. The Biden administration on Tuesday quietly launched its website for Americans to request free at-home COVID-19 tests a day before the site was officially scheduled to go online. The website, covidtests.gov, now includes a link for Americans to access an order form run by the U.S. Postal Service. People can order 4 at-home tests per residential address to be delivered by the Postal Service. It marks the latest step by President Joe Biden to address criticism of low inventory and long lines for testing during a nationwide COVID-19 surge in cases due to the Omicron variant. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the website was in beta testing and operating at a limited capacity ahead of its official launch. The website will officially launch mid-morning on Wednesday. There were isolated reports Tuesday afternoon of issues relating to the website's address verification tool erroneously enforcing the 4 per household cap on apartment buildings and other multi-unit dwellings, but it was not immediately clear how widespread the issue was. At points Tuesday, more than 750,000 people were accessing the website at the same time, according to public government tracking data, but it was not immediately known how many orders were placed. She added that the administration was anticipating a bug or two, but had IT experts from across the government working to get the site ready. Biden announced last month that the U.S. would purchase 500 million at-home tests to launch the program, and on Thursday, the president announced that he was doubling the order to 1 billion tests. But Americans shouldn't expect a rapid turnaround on the orders, and they will have to plan ahead and request the tests well before they meet federal guidelines for when to use a test. The White House said that tests will typically ship within 7 to 12 days of ordering through UPS, which reports shipping times of 1 to 3 days for its first-class package services in the United States. Officials emphasize that the federal website is just one way for people to procure COVID-19 tests and shortages of at-home test kits that have shown signs of easing as more supply has hit the market. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 19th, from the Health and Wellness section. Study. Exercise could slow disease. For people with early-stage Parkinson's disease, 4 hours a week of moderate exercise may help slow the progression of the disease. Symptoms of Parkinson's, which is a movement disorder, generally starts gradually but worsens over time. But research published in the journal Neurology found that those who were regularly active for at least that amount of time, whether with traditional exercise or such physical activity as walking, gardening, or dancing, had less decline in balance and walking ability, were better able to maintain daily activities, and did better on cognitive tests for 5 years later than those who exercised less. The researchers noted that the key to achieving these benefits was maintaining regular exercise over time, rather than how active people had been when their disease started. Parkinson's, which is more common in men than women, usually begins about age 60, as nerve cells in the brain, or neurons, become weak or damaged. Although no cure exists for Parkinson's treatment, medication, surgery, or electrical stimulation can sometimes help ease symptoms for a while. The researchers wrote, however, that there is still no disease-modifying treatment to slow the disease's progression. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 19th, from the Health and Wellness section. Sleep deprivation in teens linked to poor food choices. Between tests, extracurricular activities, and all that texting, it's no wonder only a quarter of U.S. teens get the recommended 8 to 10 hours of sleep each night. That's a lot of exhausted, cranky teenagers, and new research in the journal Sleep adds another reason for parents to let their adolescents sleep in as long as possible. Teens who don't get enough sleep, the study suggests, consume more sugar and carbohydrates, increasing their risk of metabolic disorders, obesity, and mental health challenges. Research analyzed the sleep and eating patterns of 93 adolescents over the course of 3 weeks. During the study period, the 14 to 17-year-olds woke at the same time every day. The researchers, however, changed their bedtimes throughout the study. One group was given 5 hours to sleep a night, while the other got 9.5 hours. Predictably, the teens given more time to sleep got about 2 hours and 20 minutes more sleep than their exhausted counterparts. Both sets of teens ate approximately the same number of calories per day, but the kind of food they chose varied. And the teens with less sleep ate 72% more calories and 32% more carbohydrates between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. Getting less sleep caused teens to eat more junk. Kara Duraccio, a psychology professor at Brigham Young University, who was the study's lead author, said in a release, "We suspect that tired teens are looking for quick bursts of energy to keep them going until they can go to bed. So they're seeking out foods that are high carbs and added sugar." Teens who got less sleep also ate fewer vegetables and fruits and drank more sugar sweet beverages than their counterparts. This is Jane reading from the Saturday, January 15th edition of the Odessa American, Section A. This is Jane reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, January 15th. Isaiah Bush, president of the Black Students Union at UTPB, introduced Kamisi Green during a discussion on the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. called Educating a Nation, Friday at the Heimerman Center for Engaged Teaching. Assistant Director of Student Life at UTPB, Kamisi Green talked about the numerous civil rights activists, including Barbara Rose Johns, during his presentation. This is Jane reading from the Saturday edition of the Odessa American for January 15th. Prosecutor, Texas Attorney General Paxton violated open records law. A district attorney says Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton violated the state's open records law by withholding or failing to retain his communications relating to his appearance at a pro-Donald Trump rally that preceded the deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol last year. The Austin-based Travis County District Attorney's Office told the Republican Attorney General in a letter on Thursday that he had 4 days to remedy the issue or face a lawsuit. Paxton's office has not returned the message, seeking comment on the letter Friday. Paxton and his wife, State Senator Angela Paxton, appeared at the January 6, 2021 event in Washington, D.C., where the Attorney General gave a speech touting his failed legal push to overturn Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election. Several news organizations have requested Paxton's communications from around that time under the Texas Public Information Act. Last March, 6 news outlets jointly published a story raising questions about whether Paxton was breaking open records laws. Earlier this month, top editors at 5 Texas newspapers, the Austin American Statesman, the Dallas Morning News, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the Houston Chronicle, and the San Antonio Express News filed complaints asking the district attorney to investigate the alleged violations. Anyone who believes a public agency is withholding information in violation of the Public Information Act can file a complaint with the local prosecutor. Paxton faces several GOP challengers in his reelection bid this year. Last fall, 8 of Paxton's top deputies accused him of bribery, abuse of office, and other crimes in the service of another supporter, an Austin real estate developer who employs a woman with whom the attorney general allegedly had an extramarital affair. The FBI is investigating those allegations. The attorney general has also spent most of his time in office under a separate felony indictment he pleaded not guilty to in 2015. To 3 state securities fraud charges, but it is yet to face trial.
For Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Saw palmetto for an overactive bladder? Dear Dr. Roach, I take Paradexa and Metoprolol for AFib. Would it be safe to try saw palmetto for an overactive bladder? I prefer not to take any additional prescription medication. Answer. Overactive bladder is caused by excess muscle contractions of the bladder. I am unaware of any data showing a benefit of saw palmetto in overactive bladder. However, overactive bladder has similar symptoms to enlarged prostate, which blocks urine flow. Saw palmetto is often prescribed for prostate enlargement and inflammation. The data is mixed on whether it is effective, but it does appear to be safe. It does not have much in the way of drug interactions, and although there is a theoretical risk of increased bleeding, my herb drug interaction calculator did not list a concern.
Fiancé's lady friends pose big problem for his intended. Dear Abby, for Wednesday, January 19th. Dear Abby, my fiancé, Peter, has a number of female friends I'm not comfortable with, primarily because they are women he had interest in before we started dating. He says he has told them he's taken now and they can't be more than friends, but I don't think they got the message. He recently told me one of them told him a guy had proposed to her, but she's delaying accepting in case Peter becomes available. This is the second time something like this has happened. I believe it's because of the way he relates to these girls. I mean, if he has really made it clear in words and actions that he's not interested in them romantically, they wouldn't base their life decisions on the hope that they may still have a chance with him. Peter may tell me these things because he wants me to know lots of women are willing to have him, but I'm confused at this point about whether he's truly committed to me. Could it be he just likes talking to women, even though it leads them on? And is this behavior healthy for a future marriage? Second thoughts. Dear Second Thoughts, you're asking intelligent questions. Unfortunately, not knowing your fiancé, I can't answer them. I can, however, offer this. When couples become serious, they stop playing games. If your fiancé thinks that causing you to feel jealous or insecure at this point is constructive, he is making a mistake because it won't stop after the wedding. Peter appears to be immature, and that's a red flag. Premarital counseling may help to clear the air. Dear Abby, I've been married for 28 years. I thought we were very happy for the first 25. The change came when our children all left home. We sold our large house, which I was more than willing to do, but the house we have moved into causes me a lot of anxiety because of the traffic noise. My husband is very forceful about his right to choose where we live. He has insisted that the next move is also his choice and has already purchased the land. He claims he has provided for others all these years, and now it's his turn to get what he wants. Abby, I raise the children. I still have a job, and I contribute to every aspect of home life. Although I love him with all my heart, I wonder if I'd be better off throwing in the towel. He refuses to go to counseling, but I have gone to help with my anxiety. After 3 years in this new home, I don't see any sign he will change his ways. I have tried talking to him about choosing something different together and moving, but he won't do it. Help. Back up against the wall. Dear Back, I can't change your husband's attitude, and apparently neither can you. I'm glad you have been seeing a therapist because it's time to schedule more appointments. Your therapist will help you decide whether you can continue with someone who refuses to recognize your contributions to the marriage and who has such a controlling, authoritarian attitude. You have decisions to make that should not be taken lightly or decided while you are emotional. You deserve peace of mind and an equal voice about where you choose to live.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.